Okay, no, it's working out. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Gecko Games Cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, live from the theater. You know,
live from the Muppet
I saw
theater.
That Disney Plus put the Muppets back on. I feel like we talked about this once. Just want to shout it out again. That's real.
Yeah.
I think it's important. One of my friends one time, no idea what the Muppets was. And I think I talked about this too. No idea what the Muppets was, or who the Muppets were, I should say. Knew about Miss Piggy and Kermit, of course, because you literally can't go through life without knowing those two. It's not. You know, Kermit, Miss Piggy, as much as they are a part of the Muppets, they're just household names of their own. It's Kermit the fucking Frog. Yeah, it's Kermit the Frog. So, yeah, they transcended conventional means. I even think I saw an advertisement once for Kermit being on some shows that didn't even have to do with them. Point is, his friend, she was... Yeah, the whole... Kermit drops in as a special guest.
On an all-new Law & Order SVU.
Through sex crimes.
Kermit drops by.
Not fun. Typically deals with sodomy, because that's a specialty. But, yeah, friend was like, oh, you know, I don't really know the Muppets. What's up with that? And I was like, you don't know the Muppets. And... I had shown her two movies of theirs. One of them, not like actually watch them through, but just to raise awareness. One of them was The Muppet Movie, which is a classic in itself. You could argue The Muppets Take Manhattan. You know, you could. I didn't like it that much, but that's okay. You could make the argument. I think it's important to have. The next one was one that is close and near and dear to me, A Muppet's Christmas Carol, which I think is a classic. See, that's what I said too. I said everybody loves absolutes like that. Everybody loves it, or hyperbole. But I didn't think it was hyperbolic at all. I thought it was just true. I genuinely, you know what? Ask the leaders of the free world. Ask Warren Buffett. Ask LeBron James. Ask Barack Obama. Yeah, ask those who are the best of their class, and they'll tell you all the same thing. I'll attest to this. They'll say that's a great movie. This dates all the way back to any leader of this free world. You could even go to North Korea. Very hot topic. Very hot country. Ask him. Ask the leader. Loved it. Thought it was funny. Giggled at it. Giggled at the Marley and Marley song. So I heard.
He loves it.
Nelson Mandela, famous figure. Could have swore he said it one time.
Watches it every Christmas.
Now, what did this friend say? Why would you watch this? No, that was it. Yeah, it was, why would you ever watch this? And
what?
I was floored. Floored. Actually, a little insulted, too. I was insulted for the creators. I mean, you have Michael Caine in it. Plays Scrooge. Classic. Got the Muppets, of course, as the cast. You know? Got Tiny Tim. Played by Robin the Frog. You know, the cast was just stacked. Stacked. Did it win an Oscar? No. I think it released in the off season, so I don't think it could have been nominated. But that's showbiz. You know what? You can't even get bent out of shape about it, because, you know, the Muppets stand for one thing. That's showbiz. I'm pretty sure that's one of their quotes. You know, that's showbiz. Even in Muppets Take Manhattan, one of the constant themes of the Muppets is that whenever they're trying to enter the mainstream again, everybody thinks, who are you? What is this? Why do you guys, you're just puppets. You know, why should you ever be on Broadway? Yeah, why should the human race care about the Muppets again? And guess what? It always ends the same way.
Why should I care?
Yeah. Always ends the same way. The Muppets end up on Broadway. Gonzo ends up an alien. Fozzie Bear ends up on a sexual predator list. It's always fun. And you love it. Right back to where we all started. Status quo remains. So... just want to call that out.
Right back to where you
if
started.
If you have a Muppet, go hug it. I think it's pretty cool. But this is the Gecko Games Cast, where we talk about either games that we're playing, games that we're not playing,
beautiful.
Muppets. I don't know.
Or Muppets.
Maybe building a log cabin, if you're lucky. Yeah, we sometimes tackle woodworking.
If that's something that's interesting to you, if you want to build yourself a log cabin.
Go back in the archives. I'm sure there's something. But Rich, how are you?
On occasion. We've been known to.
I'm doing
I'm doing
fantastic. Just hanging.
all right over here. How about yourself?
This week, I've only played one game a little bit, just a little, and that's Monster Hunter Rise. Wasn't gonna get it at first, I'll be honest, right away, because I kind of want to chill with it for a little bit. Maybe I was thinking, maybe I'm not gonna play. But the hype got me. I heard it was pretty sweet, and I picked up on it, and it is a fun game. Who could have expected this?
I'm also
Who could have
playing Monster
expected? I
Hunter
had
Rise.
no idea.
Who could have expected me and my little wire bug, we're going out there, we're hunting monsters.
Willie.
I got my trusty Palamute Willie, my Palico
That
Oscar,
is a lot.
and my
There's a lot
Cthulhu
going on
Jacob.
there.
We got it quite a team.
Yeah, there's a lot happening there. But
There's a lot of
hey, I'm
animals in this
glad.
Monster Hunter. More
And
than
what
normal.
weapon are you rocking right now? Very cool. I have
I
always
am using
used
the Switch
Lance
Axe
in a
Throw.
lot of my games. Very boring weapon. But reliable. Oh, it gets the job when you play. Yeah.
But it gets the
Gun
job
Lance
done.
is for me
I
a
like
lot, but the
the
Lance
Gun
I
Lance
think works
myself.
best in parties. Like I like playing that with groups of people. It's a very reliable weapon. You can tank pretty effectively with your shield, not really get hit. Otherwise though, I was thinking of switching it up this time. One time I think on four Ultimate I played heavy bowgun. A lot of fun that time. This time, however, I think I'm just going to stick to a range. I'm sticking to range weapons like the light bow gun. Give it a different shot, and then move over to maybe something more cliche like
Yeah,
great
sure.
sword or
That's
something.
definitely
That's always
a
a
viable
tried and
option.
true. But I always love the versatility. Always love versatility of these games. You could do
Great swords
anything you
can
want.
be. Great swords are always fun. The Switch Axe is always a favorite of mine because there's nothing I
Oh
love
yeah,
more than
baby.
like downing something and then just switching to axe mode to just hack the
Just
fucking
beat
shit out
the
of it.
ever living hell out of it. For those who have never heard us talk about Monster Hunter, we like it. A lot of fun. This is the newest installation on the Nintendo Switch. I think that's pretty damn cool because I think the Switch is the perfect system for these kinds of things, as was the 3DS, even though it was a little bit smaller. And I didn't like the controls all that much, and this pretty much copies the same kind of scheme. But it's a solid game. And the reason why I actually think that this is a very solid entry in the series is because, number one, they're using the Resident Evil engine for this one. Pretty impressive engine, especially for the Switch, no less. Rich and I were talking about Crash Bandicoot last week and how it looked like a fucking potato on the Switch, but what are you going to do? Yeah. It truly, in my opinion, also
This
looks
game looks great. This
fantastic.
game looks great.
You can't go. Compare this to Generations Ultimate on the Switch, which was a port from the 3DS. This game looks great. There's no doubting it. Is it Monster Hunter World 4K? We were talking about this last week. No, you're not gonna get that. But you're not gonna get that with the Switch anyway. Yeah, but this looks great.
No.
It also continues
But
a
it looks
lot of the
good.
quality of life areas and functionalities that Monster Hunter World had, such as the ever consistent world zoning. So you don't need to go through many cutscenes or many load
Yeah, for
screens, I should
sure.
say, not cutscenes, when you're transitioning zones.
Yeah. And they've even upped a few things like how viable it is to sort of pit monsters against each other. Like that's more seems like more of a baked-in strategy at
I
this
have to
point is
get
like
good at that.
actually
I've
getting
seen
these
my
monsters
brother
engaged
do
with
it
each other.
very effectively. I've seen videos of people. It's crazy cool to like just take over a Rathalos with your wire bugs and just attack and ream on somebody else.
And just it's fucking awesome
Yeah,
when you can manage it and just like you
it's a
chump
trip,
them
and it's
when
something
you're
that
attacking that way.
you can learn to get good at. I think the traversing with the wire bugs, I think it's a neat functionality. When I remember they were first showing it in the trailers, I was thinking, who's going to use that? And it kind of looked like it was more of a niche thing that could be cool where you can go places, but ultimately I wouldn't use it that much. They really took some consideration as to how versatile this thing could be. I think it's really cool. I hope that it's actually used in the next Monster Hunter World, but you never know. And yeah, I was actually just
Yeah.
impressed with that.
Wire bugs are cool. I think having the Palamute to sort of get around faster is a really cool functionality, like having this sort of dedicated mount. Also, like, I had to get used to being like, oh, right, I can sharpen my weapon while I'm on my Palamute's back.
Yeah.
Like, I should probably
it's,
do that while
it's
I'm
just a lot of fun.
After, like, little,
I
little
think the
things
monster
like
interactions too, the new monster. It's just not. It's Monster Hunter, but always, as always, with a twist. They do it very well, though. Lots of fun. Just a consistently great game. There's a lot of different things too in this game that keep it fresh, and it just keeps everything just an overall interesting time. I think one of the main concerns that people have is, number one, first of all, there's a million Monster Hunters. I feel that. The good thing about that is that if you, with a little research, you could find out which one's for you. I would always personally just go for the most up to date one. But the cool.
To be fair, this one is probably a lot.
Yeah,
more
same with Generations
World,
Ultimate. I feel. I think 4 Ultimate's still the best entry
doing,
in the
like,
series for
lot.
Newbies. Oh, and no, and so is World. What am I saying? World in. Yeah, in current gen markets,
yeah,
if you're brand new to this thing,
the
I would recommend World. If you want something a little bit more. I think 4 Ultimate's still good. The thing is, too, with these games, Monster Hunter, to my knowledge, never really loses their communities. There may be support that's stopped by Capcom after years, and these guys really do keep up these servers for years. But there's always a community of people playing the game, which is pretty damn cool. I personally have never really seen that before with a lot of online communities for games, or even worse, the servers do just eventually shut down within, you know, a couple of years into the game shelf life. That kind of sucks. But Monster Hunter, all the DLC is always going to be there consistently, so you can download it. And you can always find people to play with. And I think that's just cool because, damn, man, you could really just go back to 4 Ultimate, Generations Ultimate on the Switch, World, any of those, and you can find a party. So there's options for you. If you find that Rise is just too kind of weird. And the second thing with Monster Hunter 2 is that, you know what, there's a learning curve. There's a learning curve to the type of game that it is. Yeah. I
pretty
can
big
admit
one, yeah.
that I
You're
have
get
played,
your ass
what was
for
it?
A while, more than likely.
I think I played Freedom Unite on the PSP. That was my first exposure to Monster Hunter. That was when the PSP was at the height of its popularity.
You got Monster Hunter.
That was some cool shit. And I had Ridge Racer, Darkstalkers, Please Bring It Back. And Monster Hunter Freedom Unite, I thought Monster Hunter sucked because as a kid, I could not get into it. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was also going into these foggy forests, these misty, foggy forests and fighting these little babies. And I was thinking, where's this thing on the cover? Truly. And I was thinking, damn, man, this kind of blows. And it wasn't until, and also just the materials and grinding and gathering, I didn't dig that. I also just didn't get it that much. So as time went on, and I got, what was it? 3 Ultimate, I think, was the next one. That was for the Wii. And, or just Monster Hunter 3. I think that was for the Wii, or Ultimate, I forget. And
yeah, that sounds right.
A lot of fun. And definitely kind of appealed to me as I got a little bit older because I really didn't get the whole grinding thing. I would still say if you don't like grinding at all, do not ever convince yourself to like this game because that is going to be the backbone of every game. Yeah.
That's all this game is, yeah, is you're just hacking.
Yep, and just collecting their materials, sucking the blood out of them. The whole disgusting spiel of really utilizing every bit of the monster and we use every, you know, we're going back to our humane roots.
We use
and really just trying to utilize every bit of what we hunt. And the concept's cool, but it's never, a leopard's, it's never going to change its spots. That's the way it always is. So if you really don't like that, or if you just don't like consistently hunting the same, or going after the same thing over and over to build something or armor sets, it's not going to be for you. I personally think it's an acquired taste over time. I think you may start off a little rigid with it, but then you'll eventually learn to love it because, again, it's a learning curve. But as you start to learn the weapons that you're playing with, you start to learn some patterns of the monsters you're fighting and they get harder. It's a challenge. There's always a challenge to it to try to beat things as best as you can. And I think that's always just been the charm and appeal of these games. They've always just been a fun time, especially if you're playing it with other people. It's just fun. And it's cool to try out different weapons. It's cool to wear different armor sets and try to build different things and resistances against other. There's just a lot of depth to it, but on the surface, in the backbone of it, it is a grindy game. So cool stuff. May not be your cup of tea. As always, I always recommend watching people on Twitch playing this or YouTube just to get a feel for these kinds of games. And honestly, give it a try to get a cheaper one. If you ever feel like, I don't really want to spend $60. Okay, get a cheaper one. Get World. World always goes on sale, I think, for consoles and Steam. I think that's probably the best entry, as Rich was saying, too. You know, it looks great. So, what is, have you played it much?
Yeah, for sure. I have I've done like two longer hunts, but I haven't grouped up with anyone yet. So I found myself like when I pushed in like being like, wow, 50-minute hunt, and I'm using all 50 goddamn minutes. But
even
what
solo,
I've had time for, I'm really
it's a great way to just also gauge yourself, see how you're doing, test, and then play with other people. I think a lot, but
sure.
I do. It's just a the concept of the game itself, it's persisted for so many years, and this is still one of the most popular games, if not one of the most popular multiplayer games in Japan. People go nuts for this. Yeah, this thing is as a multiplayer cultural significance as Dragon Quest is for single-player RPGs. People go absolutely nuts for it. I remember with
the
3DS.
Yeah.
In Japan, 3DSs sold out immediately when 3 Ultimate came to it. When it came for the first 3DS. And then even the 3DS's XLs. You didn't even need that for Monster Hunter. But 4 Ultimate came out, Generations. It kept selling out the systems because people just bought them. And that, to me, is wild. Physical editions were selling out. They had special physical limited editions in Japan that sold. And I think over time, while it still has not reached that kind of pinnacle of being a cultural icon in Western society, I think it's pretty damn close. I think it's pretty damn close to getting there. If it's not there already, I think World really tapped into the Western market. That game looked beautiful. Oh, yeah, true. Oh, what am I saying?
There was
because
really
I blocked that from my memory.
Picture.
Yeah, they even went as far as to make a really shitty movie out of it. And look at that, you know?
Yeah.
So unfortunately, there is that. That's Monster Hunter, though, in a nutshell. I recommend it. That's the Rise. Everybody rise up.
That's Monster Hunter
Great
Rise.
Game. Now, Rich, I see you're... play or you have played It Takes Two. This was by the guy. Did he make Brothers?
I have. Yosef Farith. Yeah. He made Brothers. He made A Way Out. I have been playing this on stream with Josh over at Sword Chomp. We put about 5 hours into it so far. It's a take the good with the bad kind of game. Here's the thing. For one thing, as far as like this like co-op pushed stuff Yosef has been doing, this game is way better than A Way Out. In terms of, I think, the gameplay, the world design, it's a co-op 3D platformer, and I think as far as gameplay and stuff goes, I'll get a little bit into that in a minute here. It's exceptional. The story stuff really bugs me. Because the main crux of the story is you are playing as a husband and wife going through a divorce. And basically your daughter is, you know, dealing with some shit in you know, the middle of all this happening. And she makes these dolls of you. And, you know, naturally then some magic happens because movies and video games. And you end up being trapped in your consciousness is transferred to the dolls, and some sort of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids-esque shit happens, and you have to traverse the house and fight vacuum cleaners and all this sort of crazy shit. And I don't know how it's going to play out. I feel like if this ends up being one of those, like, we're going to push through this and stay together through the kid, like, I think that stuff is stupid because human relationships aren't that simple. And so far, I just don't know if I can get behind the message it seems to be trying to ensue here.
I don't really know what they're going for here, but, man, this is like, some good stuff.
It's a really generous platformer. And we've been through, like, three... We've been like three or four worlds deep, and every area has like a different gimmick that just everything feels fun, and nothing ever stays too long to get stale. Like in the first episode, the Josh's character had like a hammerhead that it was using to sort of swing from things or like open doors and stuff. And my character had three nails that I could throw and call back to me as projectiles. So it would be like, I'd throw a nail and he'd use it to swing across a platform. And it's a lot of stuff like that. Like in the second area, you are taking on this like sort of wasp nest, and you have a combination of like this sort of nectar and then a gun that fires matches to ignite it that you use in combination together. There's a whole area where it turns into a Diablo style top-down dungeon crawler. And all of this stuff feels really good, and the set piece design and the character design is all really good.
Right, so you're not really.
I just feel like I'm pushing through.
I guess you're not really being sold too much on the cutscenes itself.
No, there are bits of the cutscenes I'm enjoying. Like, there's a whole section where you are like helping a squirrel army fight wasps, and I just wanted to see more of that. Like, I don't care about these people's relationship, they still get a divorce when this is
correctly a master class.
I don't think they should try and work it out.
Sussing out relationships and compatibility.
The other thing I will note is Yosef's
really
infamous "fuck the Oscars" speech is hidden inside
this
game. Yeah, we found it during our first stream.
Whoa. That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool Easter egg.
It's pretty amazing. So
how much is this game again?
I believe it's $30. I didn't buy it. It's one of those things on Steam where if you buy it, anyone can download what's called the It Takes Two Friend Pass on Steam.
Damn.
And then as long as somebody
That's
invites
cool.
you to play, you can play the full game. So I
we,
yeah, but it's,
I don't think
$29.99,
to my memory there hasn't been a game like that in a while.
You two copies.
At least that I've where if you just have multiplayer copies, you can just play the game with somebody else. The
game that comes to mind is Yosef's last game,
Nintendo's Share Play or whatever it was, where you play like Mario Kart and stuff. It's just a cool. It's a pretty cool functionality to just have in there.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think
you have literally no choice.
You cannot play single player. This game is reliant on you can't play it alone. So it's good of them to be like, "Hey, we're not going to just force you to do it locally." Like if you
So there is no way for somebody to play alone
online. We're not going to make you both spend $30 on it. It's just a cool move.
Damn. What an experience. Could you play...
You cannot play this game alone, no. It is not possible.
Yeah, I get the message. Could you play... refresh
two...
my memory, it's been
it
years.
Takes two,
Journey.
Eric.
You could play alone? No. I'm just talking about Journey the game.
Brothers,
okay.
You mean.
Brothers, you could play alone, too. I knew that.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of other games where you kind of have that companionship.
Brothers, you
one
can play
of the
alone,
themes.
Like a split gamepad scenario where...
And whether or not that would actually... I'm a little wary with games like these for a long shelf life, because if you can't find somebody to play with, or rather, if you're not interested in getting it right away, and let's just say you don't have somebody local to play with, you're kind of on a timetable. You may not find somebody to play the game with. Yeah. I'm always curious about
somebody else is going to be interested in playing
that.
I
mean, hey, it's a fresh game. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be able to enjoy it. Sounds pretty good. It's not so bad. It's fresh with a PH. Fresh to death.
Fresh.
So that's $30. You want a Takes Two?
Correct.
Well, you're going to have to pay $3. There you go. Done. $3.
3D dollars.
Give us the release radar.
Release radar is rather small, so I'll just jump us through that real quick. Outriders comes to PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, and Stadia on April 1st. Resident Evil 7 is coming to Stadia on April 1st. The Lost Worlds Beyond the Page comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on April 6th. Oddworld Soulstorm comes to PC, PS5, and PS4 April 6th.
Perfect.
And Star Wars Republic Commando is coming to PS4 April 6th.
What a stacked video game list. Who would have ever guessed? Seeing the Stadia still have games release on it blows my freaking mind. Well, so it goes. Oddworld, kind of curious to see how that does. Hilarious. That's going to be free on PS Plus, yeah? Republic Commando. Yeah.
Yes, it is. I plan on checking that out.
So weird seeing that out here. Happy. Happy to see it.
The best Star Wars game.
Very strange to see it out there. I recommend that game. Yeah. Especially game. For Switch. Man. When they were releasing, what was it, Jedi Knight Academy? That was pretty freaking cool. I didn't buy it because I'd already played that game to death. Same with Republic Commando. I'm kind of done with that, but that was a pretty freaking cool game.
They are...
Yeah.
It's cool that all that stuff is available on modern.
I always hope they make a Republic Commando 2. Chances are they're just going to revamp the series if they ever did it. It's pretty cool, though. Down with that. So, once again, the Switch reigning supreme as the ultimate indie console. Yeah. This game, I don't even think, is considered indie. Let's dive into the news. I do want to talk about this one. This was one that made me shake my head in disappointment, but then again, I contributed to the problem anyway, so you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Kind of, the Super Mario All-Stars bundle, that bundle with Super Mario World, 64. I'm sorry, not Super Mario World, just Super Mario 64, Sunshine. What was the last game? Galaxy. How could I forget the best one? Basically, that goes off the market tomorrow. Or after tomorrow. Sales have skyrocketed, I think 276%.
Yep.
Yeah. Now.
That's insane, but.
Now, you may ask yourself if you haven't heard about this, why? Well, it started this new trend that Nintendo took upon themselves, I think back in October, November, where they released the game and they said, hey, guess what? It's going to be off the eShop at the end of March. It's done. Going to put it back in the vault, so get it while you can. And yeah, and you know,
Super Mario All-Stars.
I don't think Nintendo has done this before.
Disney Vault. No, this would be in the first, and then they did it with the Fire Emblem release. I don't know how I feel about this, and I'm afraid.
With the Fire Emblem release, I kind of got that. That's an old game that they localized, made a collector's edition for.
Yeah.
I feel that. I don't. That's what I don't get. If you're having your physical collections for your games, I feel that you may just find yourself not seeing value in your physical collections. So I get that if you don't want to keep distributing, that makes sense to me. We're talking about a digital copy that'll only yield greater sales long term. I don't think. Actually, I can't say. I can't even say that over time. Maybe they wouldn't have sold as much as they had if they were taking it off. But the point is, I don't think that from a customer relations perspective, that's good. Nintendo always has this wacky way of having this devout fan base, but at the same time, just spitting in the eye of all of them just because they kind of force your hand a bit. They're offering something that people have wanted forever. And yeah, you could make the argument, well, if you want it, you'll buy it. But what if somebody just didn't or could not afford to have a Switch yet? And they buy it, especially the kids. Think of the kids out here. Think of the children. And then they buy it, and then you can't get it anymore. Even as a parent, I would think that's pretty frustrating. I mean, what the hell are you doing? I don't get that.
Yeah. It's weird marketing bullshit. Not like I get what they're trying to do, and it clearly works.
I don't even
like
know why inflation of they sales, even if that is the art, which it probably right I don't even know why they need it. I feel like you could just, if you were Nintendo, and they're doing the same thing with Skyward Sword. If you're Nintendo, and you honestly release these copies of these games for $60 or sticker price or whatever the hell you're going to do with it, you're going to make the money. They already know that. You're going to bank in on nostalgia. Skyward Sword right now is releasing for $60, or it will. Yeah. And I think that's absurd. I think that's a game that should have been bundled. Like, sure, they spent the work to do the development for the Joy-Con controls. That takes effort. That takes dev hour. I get that. But to charge $60 for essentially the same game that just has altered motion controls, they didn't remake the game.
The thing to me is it would have been a great $60 bundle if they had also brought over the Wind Waker and Twilight Princess HD.
Totally. Like, say with, like, what was Legend it, Zelda Wind Waker, when it first released on the Wii U. Wind Waker HD remaster, whatever the hell you want to call it, that, honest to God, that made sense that they would charge you $60 for it, because they were incorporating the tablet as a new feature set for the game. Yeah, and when I say it makes sense and it's worth it, I mean, they just did something different to justify, perhaps. Yeah, Wind Waker, number one, Wind Waker slaps so hard.
I mean, like, that's not Wind even Waker a contest. Slaps.
Like, Jesus, like, fuck me up. But they actually did some development work into a tablet. You know, you could do the maps, you could do the drawing on it. It was minor, but it was something. Twilight?
Yeah. Skyward Sword has this same thing, arguably, with, like, to make it work with
for sure.
Standard controls. And
but was it worth $60? It all depends, like, on what your values are, I guess, at the end of the day. Again, I feel like I'm just talking about my own opinion for it. I personally don't think that was worth $60, but, hey. You know, it's just like, hey, different strokes. I think Twilight Princess.
I think a lot of people would agree with you.
Coming out for the Wii U, I don't think that was justified. They didn't do anything for that, to be quite honest. At some of the same tablet function, I just don't think that.
The same. It had some.
And maybe this is completely hypocritical. I think that the tablet functionality for Wind Waker had a bigger presence of use. Yeah, the map system, it actually had to have that, whereas with Twilight Princess, they kind
of
just
charts and stuff.
Ripped and replaced and just put the map in there, and they're like, yeah, there you go. Like, I personally didn't, and again, maybe that's just me doing apples to oranges, and others may say, well, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Who knows, I'd agree with you, but in my mind, I think of it as two different things. It all depends on what's useful to you. And I mean, you'd be hard-pressed for me to even tell you any different for, let's say, what, Pikmin 3? I think Pikmin 3 should have been $40. I don't think they should have done that, but I understand why.
Yeah.
Me too. You and me both. You and me. I would rather just pick up these games if they were $40 at the time, if they're just ports. But Nintendo knows that nobody really bought a Wii U. No, actually, I should say Nintendo didn't make enough Wii Us for people to even buy them.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah, I was going to say, it comes in peace with. They didn't really make enough initially, and then people were like, well, kick rocks, and they really didn't sell any. And that was supposed to be. I remember that it was supposed to blow up as the next gen console for Nintendo, and it literally was just a Wii with a tablet, so it made sense. But for them to essentially bring it back to Mario, or just an example of this structure or strategy for them to release these games, take them out of the vault. I agree with you in that I don't think that this bodes well for future releases. I think that they're going to get very, very happy, or comfortable, I should say, with how they do this for future titles. I think Zelda's next on the chopping block. They're going to pull this shit. I know they will. And I have a feeling a lot of their other titles or their franchises, like, say, even Metroid. Mm-hmm. What if they release the Metroid Prime Collection? I wouldn't be surprised if they did this for 4. I have you
I
and me both. I have a
really
feeling
want them to do that.
They're gonna announce 4.
Has not happened.
And then they're gonna release the collection, And then they're going to say, hey, buy this, but we're taking it away next year. Because it just seems like what's going to happen in the future. Yeah, and that like blows because MO. As a consumer, I don't want that shit. I don't want that. I really don't. I want to support a company that's actually giving
certainly not
people what they want, but at the same time, I want them to do it in a way that benefits everybody. You know, again, what if somebody, you're only creating, and this is Nintendo's model, which is why it's smart for them.
Yeah.
They're creating a scarcity mindset or a scarce market where the next time that they have a console, whatever it is, maybe it's the next iteration of a Switch or maybe a Switch Pro or whatever it may be, I don't know, they'll just do it again. They're just going to take it out from the vault and be like, yo, it's Mario again. Everyone's going to eat it up. And
yeah,
that sucks.
It's bad. Yeah,
now this time, will I do it the second time around? Honestly, like no, I don't think I will. I think the Switch has enough longevity for me for the next 5 to 10 years to just have its console. Yeah, yeah, I don't care about that. And I have a feeling they're going to do that. They're going to get very slap happy with localizing older games and saying, hey, I truly believe moving forward, even though it's a pipe, I think Mother 3 will be next. I have a feeling they're going to localize that. I have a feeling one day, mark my words, they're going to localize Mother 3. And when they do, it's going to be a time release. I have a feeling. I got a feeling. I just can't in any capacity imagine.
It wouldn't be surprising.
I think you could play Earthbound on the Super Nintendo Classics. Pretty sure that's there. If not, it will be. I'm thinking maybe I'm confusing with the 3DS, honestly. My brain is split between the 3DS market and Switch because, of course, they're not one and the same. I think.
Then the Wii U got.
Man, I really wish those sons of bitches just put the Wii and Wii U shop availability of titles into the Switch. I really do. They had some good stuff in there before they shut it off. Like, they had Castlevania the Adventure Rebirth on there. You can't get that without modding your console. They made it impossible.
No, there's a
very odd. Just very, very odd.
There's a lot of stuff in
and,
that there's no other way to get.
I don't know, man. Nintendo just... I always look at these and I think about it because I just think it's so strange that a company like this just has this kind of practice. And it just makes me think, you know, at the end of the day, what is the objective here? It's to make the money. I feel that. And if that's the only thing, all right. But in the future... It is going to make me think twice about buying your stuff. Would I buy a Metroid Prime collection? Yeah. But the reason why is just because they haven't released that in any capacity other than the extremely scarce Wii versions. I actually think I would get that cheaper if I paid $60 for it.
Yeah, there's no other.
I actually think I would get it cheaper. And I would buy that. That's different. But in the future, you do it again. I'm not paying for it. No way. Kick rocks. I ain't doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Especially if you get it as a digital copy.
Yeah, no, rocks. Absolutely not.
So,
or should you?
What have you? If you haven't bought it yet, the Super Mario All-Stars Collection, that does end tomorrow. Kind of blows, but what you can do? If you like it, you probably already have it. And if not, honestly, I feel for you. It's the time to do it. And the chances are that next time they release it, it'll be for a new console just to dip into your pockets again. So, gotta love it. And I think oddly enough, I'll get somebody to defend that.
More than likely.
I feel like people love Nintendo enough where they'll be like, well, it's Nintendo, you know, you're going to buy it. And I'll just say, yeah, but you can buy it and still agree that it's shitty. We've all bought things.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I paid for...
You can pay for something and then be like, yeah, this
is fucking
cool.
I know how Mario is, but... You can still pay for something and not like it. It's the way it is. But you vote with your wallet, Ophelia. Okay, but that's that. Sony actually shut down their older web versions of the PS3, PSP, and Vita stores. Not really a surprise. I really thought...
they're going all together.
I don't
want to
say
a skull
because I didn't seem present. I can't help but really feel that the Vita was such a wasted potential, wasted opportunity, I should say, not potential. I really think they had something with that, and you used it. Mm-hmm. You liked it. I have not come across some. I have to say, I have not come across somebody who had bought the Vita,
still do,
and hated it. It even had a what was it? The remote play with it, where you could play console games on it. Wild.
It is a
tech is there.
Good...
Wild.
Yeah. Yep. It was a.
I think the same thing. They can't help themselves. And, I think the same thing happened with the PSP. But the PSP suffered because it had the UMDs. Those little discs. Yeah, the universal multimedia, whatever the hell they were.
I
could give a
fuck.
Those things were dumb. And it created such a divide in the markets because you could have had such a nice little digital device, but I don't think they had a grasp on what they wanted it to be yet. And they tried it and failed. And they, I genuinely think with the Vita as an evolution on the PSP, they were going in the right direction. I just think it was too late. I think the market already had been soured on it, and they didn't have a strong offering.
Yeah, for sure. I don't even think it was too late. I think once people didn't respond in gangbusters to it, they abandoned it and just didn't like they.
I also can't even blame them for that because I think years ago Forbes named it like one of the worst products that had released that year. And I can't help but feel that it was in a tie of their neglect to really serve that department.
They're all fools.
Yeah. So
that first one especially,
it
with an
definitely
OLED screen, that's a hell of a machine.
Definitely I could feel that. And damn. What a shame. But what have you? What are you gonna do? Speaking of Monster Hunter 2, I forgot to mention this. Capcom shipped 4 million copies of this. That's pretty wild. That's a lot of copies. It's a lot of hunting. Yeah, those are some monster size numbers if you catch
those,
my
those
drift.
Those are some Monster Hunter numbers, all right? I also think probably the world's overexposure to it with world probably played
part especially
in that.
It being on
probably,
a Switch. For sure. Handheld? All right, sign me up, baby. Easy. Switch in every home and a monster in every house. There you go. Done.
A Switch in every
monster
home.
In every bridge. I don't know if this happened this week. I saw it this week, so I have to assume it was new. CD Projekt Red released a video that basically kind of was an apology for Cyberpunk's development, but not really. It was a PR apology.
Yeah.
It was basically, hey, yeah, we're sorry, but also, you know, things that our team did not catch at the time of release.
Fire product.
And we released it. Now, if you haven't been following Cyberpunk at all, as my younger brother would always say, because he was right in predicting this, while the game I'm imagining for others who enjoy it is average, the game's development and overall initial release was total ass. It just was. Can't fight it. It's true. Big blunder in terms of game development. I think it's such a shame. The one team that I really do have the most empathy for is the dev team, because I know this is not on them. I think this had to do with just stakeholder push and pressure to get it out for the fiscal year. I feel that. And that just sucks because I think the potential of the game itself, I don't know if the game itself, even with a better schedule, would have been good.
Yeah, absolutely.
But because I think the ambition also for the game killed it. I think if they whelmed their expectations a bit, it could have been something way more fun or, you know, just way more enjoyable. But c'est la vie. It doesn't work like that in the world. So, sorry if you hear the police siren.
Mm-hmm. No. So it went over like a wet fart, unfortunately.
Yeah, and literally that's the legacy. And
the legacy.
It sucks because you know what? I think the real thing that rubs me the wrong way was how people built their rigs or their PCs in anticipation for this. Now, listen, I'm not defending people for doing this, because if you're going to build an entirely new rig at $3,000, $4,000 computer in anticipation for this shit without having it in your hands, okay. And I'm not saying that people are coming out of the woodwork being like, I have seen it though, where they'll express their disappointment, which is also okay. But to say, oh, I spent $4,000 because of you, even though you would have only paid $60 for this game, come on. What are we doing?
It still it makes me laugh in retrospect when you look back at like that video Mega 64 had put out
Yeah,
beforehand of like
those guys are
of
literally
like
those
the
guys are
future
literally
Ridgeman.
the
What about
prophets
Cyberpunk
of everything.
2077? Oh, we played it. It sucked.
I'm
Like,
wondering. I genuinely wonder if I wonder if
yeah.
they just know, but they are
People are
the
like, oh,
prophets of everything.
coming out on
And
top.
that sucks. And I feel that too. Believe me, I am not without
Yeah.
empathy for those who spent money. I even considered buying or upgrading my PC for it in anticipation. And they did release the specs. I will have to say this. Got to give credit where credit's due. They released the specs for the game. It just it's a shitty situation all around. It's nobody's fault. It's nobody's fault other than the stakeholders and the development
It
lead
sucks.
teams.
It's.
Yeah, I mean it's CD Projekt Red's fault
Yeah, I
or
was
their
gonna say,
stakeholder,
actually,
whoever
we could
really
probably
headed that
trace whose
charge,
fault
it's
it
their
is
fault.
very much.
And it's not the consumer's fault at all. I'm not going to blame them for that. That's just me being a little cynical to say, damn, it must have really sucked to pay 4 grand or so for a PC, but at least you got a nice PC. Yeah, at least you were able to get that. I gotta be honest, gotta look at the lemonade out of those
That's
sour
true.
lemons you got there. That was that. More cyberpunks. You'll never forget it. It's gonna be known as a blunder in history. PAX East 2021 canceled to the surprise of nobody. These guys,
Yeah, I'm
what did
surprised they
they do?
took this
PAX
long.
Live, like digital last year?
Yeah, they did a PAX Digital where you could stream a bunch of talk topics and things like that. Yeah, so PAX East will forever be the last of
Yeah,
PAX East of
you have
2020 will
to.
forever be the last event I
I
attended
think everybody had that
in a
moment
standstill.
of realization, thinking back in early March, damn, a year ago there was a convention. We were at a convention for this, and the general air was one of uncomfortability because COVID. I think there was one confirmed case of COVID in Boston at that time, and people saw the shadow looming, but they weren't sure if it would happen.
Yes, I remember reading those
Yeah.
headlines.
But I remember we were talking about it too, like,
I
oh,
remember reading those
who's
headlines
going?
as we were driving in.
Because this is happening. And there was that ever present knowledge that COVID was going to hit just when. But we still went, and I'm glad I did. I really am. Because you know what? I felt it was weird because you know what I felt when we were doing it? I felt like this was kind of the last PAX that I would attend
Yeah, we had a
anyway.
good time.
In some weird way. Is that true? I don't know. But I kind of felt it. And, I just thought that having a complete global pandemic be the swan song for this convention that was otherwise, in my opinion, too, in the decline anyway, it was not as good. It is not as good as it was 6 to 7 years ago, or at least a decade. It just wasn't as good.
Yeah, no, it is. It's heyday is long gone, but I still enjoy those meeting up with people and doing obviously the work end of it of like checking out games and stuff. And I hope next year I will find myself back on a convention floor checking out games and meeting people, but
So that's
not maybe
PAX
until
at
then.
least. And what does that look like for the future of different conventions? I don't I it's hard to say. I think I don't know if PAX is ever going to come back or bounce back. I know it's going to come back.
Who's
I
to
want to
say?
say that. I just don't know if it'll ever feel like PAX again. Or I should say that for a lot of conventions. I don't know if it'll ever feel that way again. PAX was already, as I was saying before, on the
Yeah.
decline a little bit from some studios just backing out sometimes, or maybe it's just not having the same kind of backing that it once did. Like, so for example, the swag bags, those physical loots that you got, those were gone. Developers and teams, there were studios that didn't really pay enough money at that point for their grandiose booths that used to be hilariously fun and just wacky. I even still distinctly remember the Capcom booth with the blimp for Monster Hunter and the tents. That was so cool. So cool. When I was younger, that blew my mind.
That was
I
so
don't
great.
think
Yeah, that was so
I
great.
hope that it comes back in that regard. I don't know though. It just seemed like every year it kind of was becoming lesser and lesser than what it was. But I have optimism. I do want to see conventions like that grow because I like seeing people having fun at those. I think it's great energy. I think it's something that everybody should at least go to once, especially if you're younger. But c'est la vie, as they always say. What will happen? Whatever will be in terms of PAX. As for E3, I'm not a prophet. Good riddance, I'm not a prophet. Jeff Keighley pretty much just absorbed it.
Good riddance. Good riddance.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the day Jeff Keighley just absorbs everything and he becomes
Yeah,
video
Jeff
game.
Keighley is
And
going to E3.
I think that day is going to be upon us very soon. Why didn't Gabe Newell, in all of his
Here's
splendor and
looking at you,
wealth,
Jeff.
why doesn't he just make his own convention? Hate to
Because when
see
this
it, man.
pandemic started, he
Hate to
got
see
stuck in New Zealand and then decided he
it. I
was going to
really
stay there
wanted
forever.
Gabe to one day make like a Valve Con. Not even with Valve games, because, I mean, Valve got no game. What are you going to do? And, yeah, Valve got no game. But they could have your
Yeah,
Dota booth. You could
they'll
have your
make those.
Half-Life booth for the funnies with Alex. You could have a couple of things and then just
Well, they're
support
making
other devs. I really think they could slam that money around a little bit to make their own convention. But to be fair, there probably aren't enough conventions all over the fucking place, so they probably realize they could just keep. Yeah, I'm sure that they'll just keep investing in their techs and stuff.
Oh,
I think it'll
I'm
happen
absolutely
one day.
sure.
I
I'm
still think it'll
absolutely
happen
sure they
one day.
are.
Never count Valve out. They always do wacky stuff. You ever think we'll see like a proper Half-Life? The age-old question of the millennium.
I don't know. I really don't know. With Alex actually having been a thing recently, I would say never rule anything out, but
I don't
I'd be
know either.
surprised to see it.
I think with Alex's release, that was pretty cool because now they'll either resurge Half-Life or maybe continue in some fashion. Who's to say? Something. I don't think
Yeah,
long term, even
something,
if it's not Half-Life 3, I
something.
don't
We
think
can
they'll
hope for
ever leave that
something.
on the table. Somebody's going to resurrect. Even if Gabe is dead and Valve is collecting nothing but dust, somebody somewhere is going to make it. I may be dead. Who knows? We all may be
It
gone,
might
but
take until
it'll
then.
be made one
People
day
will be
for
standing by
sure.
waiting.
One of these days, Alice, spam zoom straight to the moon,
One of these
as they
days.
famously said about Half-Life. Straight to the Half-Life.
Moon.
What
To
else
the
was I gonna
moon.
say? Or at least bring up. Hold on. It's coming. It's coming.
Don't know, man.
I know it's coming. I got nothing. That was it.
It's
Oh,
coming.
wait, no. Wait, 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 wait. I remember. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, I think
Octopath
I'm
Traveler came out on the
pretty.
Game Pass.
I remember.
I don't know if it came out
Go on.
at the time of our last cast. I like throw that out there.
It
That was
did.
pretty cool.
It did.
There's a lot of stuff on the Game Pass. I gotta say, there's a lot of stuff on Game
Cool.
Pass.
There's a lot of stuff
And
on that there Game Pass.
Game Pass already, you could even hear me shill for it all the time, and I don't even use it that much. Or I think I don't even have it at all right now because I can't play it. But Best Deal in Gaming. Yeah, they're not going to take it off. I mean, they'll cycle through the
Best
games, but they're not going
deal
to stop the service.
in
You're still going to
gaming.
get some
You
good
could be
stuff.
playing.
So, Octopath was on there. If you want a really good JRPG, or you know what? I wouldn't even say
No,
really good, but
never.
if you want a nice, decent, oldish style turn-based RPG, give that a whirl. I think that's a very good-looking game with great music.
Yeah, I wish it was a little bit better in the narrative points, but I've talked to death about that. The
It
game's a
is
hell of a
a cool
thing to look
game.
at.
Be
The
on the
battle
lookout for
system's real
Project
good.
Diamond,
Octopath,
Hexagon,
Octopath's a cool
Octagon,
game.
Triangle. Yeah. But Rich, do you have anything else?
That was close to what it's called.
All right, let's get the brooms out. Let's sweep this out.
No, I think that about does it for
Yeah.
me. Pretty light week over here. Let's sweep up a little bit. So I want to say thanks to Heather Ramos for our wonderful artwork and Ed Biquette for our intro. Ask us questions,
So I'm on Twitter. I'm at beautiful underscore Eric.
geckogamespodcast@gmail.com. Eric, where
I
can people
usually just
find you?
browse. I lurk. I'm a lurker.
Lurk away. You can also find me on Twitter at TheRichMeister0, and you can find me at my other home at
Be well, everybody.
SwordJamerCrackle. Until next time, thanks.